So good morning. I am Peter Clemmensen from Copenhagen, and it's a pleasure to co-chair this session with Professor George Andrew Dan, who is the president-elect of the ISCP, with whom this session was actually organized. So we have a great workshop on thrombosis trialist, dose and target patient population issue. We have a large panel, as is the tradition, so I'm not going to introduce every single one of them. I'm sure they will be active during the discussion, and you can also ask them questions directly. Also, I'm extremely pleased to announce that this will be recorded, and we have a webcast with the participating countries around the world. So in between the discussions, we will have questions also from the web, and we will be handed those over either orally or by small cards, so you will have to allow us a couple of seconds to gather those questions when they come up. As you know, the format of this meeting is very much interactive. We want everybody to participate. There are different views from industry, trialists, investigators, and also we would encourage the people that are listening via the web to submit their questions and try to be provocative to the presentations so we can get a good and lively discussion. We will invite Nancy Geller, the first speaker, to come up. Try to be brief. We have 10 minutes for the speakers. As you might be aware, we have 5 minutes for the discussant, and then we'll take a panel discussion afterwards and maybe questions from the people that are participating via the web.
Good morning. I guess I get to say welcome to Paris. And it's so nice to be here again. So I've been asked to address how to secure the optimal dose. I suppose there are slides somewhere. Do I do this? Well.
Okay. I guess it doesn't make much sense to have the discussant before the actual talk. So I think we have to wait until you get the slides up and running.
Okay, I can first of all say the title, which is How to Secure the Optimal Dose for Phase 3 Antithrombotic Trials. Can Adaptive Design Help? So I'm a biostatistician, and I should say I have no disclosures. I work for the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and I'm a clinical trialist. So what I do want to talk about when the slides come is an example. I want to talk about dabigatran in atrial fibrillation and how the company organized their studies and how one could have done it. And I won't say how one should have done it because that wouldn't be fair. Hindsight is always better than foresight. So dabigatran was studied in a phase 2 trial in atrial fibrillation called PETRO, which is in the American Journal of Cardiology in 2007, and followed by a phase 3 trial called RELY, which you're all familiar with, which was in the New England Journal in 2009. So PETRO studied 502 patients with atrial fibrillation who were at high risk for stroke. Patients were randomized to 3 different doses of dabigatran, 50, 100, or 150, each BID, and either 0 or 81 or 325 milligrams of aspirin or to warfarin. So let's count. Each dose of dabigatran was associated with 0, 81, or 325 of aspirin. That's 9 different doses, 9 different drug combinations or warfarin. So the phase 2 trial here was a 10-arm trial. That's a big trial. I don't know of too many 10-arm trials. So D was double-blinded, and aspirin and W were open-label. The trial duration was only 12 weeks, and the primary outcome was the incidence of bleeding. The secondary outcome was suppression of D-dimer, and no hypothesis test was planned. So the purpose of this trial was to select a dose for phase three. So, very quickly, 300 milligrams of dabigatran, BID, and aspirin had excessive bleeds. Two were major bleeds. And so that was eliminated as a possibility for for inclusion in the phase three trial. And they continued the trial beyond 12 weeks in an extension study of those on 300 milligrams BID without aspirin, and that too showed excessive bleeds. So we eliminated the high dose of dabigatran. There were bleeds which were all minor in dabigatran and 150 and warfarin to a similar degree. But remember, we're talking about relatively small sample sizes and a relatively short duration. And there was a decrease from baseline of D-dimer, less in 50 milligrams of D than W. And there were two strokes in the 50 milligram D BID, and that sort of eliminated that dose. So the questions that needed to be answered before phase three was undertaken was what dose, and it was decided that 50 was too little and 300 was too much. And was the bleeding data for 150 BID sufficient to be certain that 150 BID was the only dose to test? Maybe bleeding would be a problem beyond 12 weeks. And secondly, lastly, should the drug be given BID? And this was decided from the pharmacokinetics in an orthopedic trial. So I'm only talking about the atrial fibrillation trials, but there were also orthopedic trials. So the phase three trial compared dabigatran 110 milligrams versus 150 versus warfarin in atrial fibrillation. So where did the 110 come from? Well, there was a concern that 150 was too much because there would be bleeds, even though there was limited evidence in either direction for that from the phase two trial. Over 18,000 patients were randomized, and there was a median follow-up of 2 years. And the primary outcome was stroke or systemic embolism, with the key safety outcome of major bleeds. So my question is, could an adaptive design facilitate drug development here? So, usually adaptive designs are used to drop treatments based on an interim analysis and or to change the primary endpoint and or to increase sample size and or to pick a subgroup for trial continuation. An adaptive design would draw conclusions about the doses tested, not those not tested, in particular 110. Was not tested in the phase two trial. So PETRO was a 10-arm trial, as we said earlier. And if you were doing an adaptive design, I think the inclusion of aspirin complicates matters considerably. First of all, you're not really looking at whether your new drug works without aspirin. And secondly, it adds all these treatment arms. So what I would have done, and I repeat, hindsight is better than foresight, is consider the three doses of dabigatran and warfarin and design a phase three trial with a planned interim look to decide if any doses of dabigatran should be dropped. So, of course, I'm not going to drop warfarin because that's my comparator. So then at a certain sample size, and based on early results, which could be as early as 12 weeks, but that's probably a little bit too early as they needed the extension trial, so perhaps 6 months, make a decision on which dabigatran doses should continue. And here are some somewhat vague rules, but they would have to be made precise for in an adaptive design. Drop a dose if there's an excess of strokes. Drop a dose if there's an excess of major bleeds. And excess must be pre-specified. Then reassess the sample size for the comparison of the remaining doses with W and continue the trial. And further interim analyses would be possible. So the advantages and disadvantages of such a design. is that it would be one trial with two or more stages, not two trials. And patients entered at the first stage would be counted in the overall trial. So those 500 patients were not counted in the phase three trial. It isn't clear if this approach would save time or sample size. And the reason is that you're starting with a four-arm trial, and that would require higher sample size than perhaps the 18,000 that they ended up testing, at least up front. But then you would drop, at an early look, you would be able to drop the low dose and the high dose. So it's not advisable to drop arms at 12 weeks. It's a little bit too soon, and it's possible that arms would be dropped. So overall, the savings would be in terms of efficiency, that you'd have planned one trial, the whole program, and not have the two phases separately, and possibly, a savings in sample size. Now, in this formulation, I've not allowed a basis for introducing a new dose, and that's because it seems to me that the 110 dose was chosen just in case 150 was too high, but initially was not thought of. So, of course, the other disadvantage is you don't get to test aspirin plus dabigatran, and of course, many would argue that the upfront test was premature. So the best applications of adaptive designs are when there is a short-term surrogate endpoint on which we're willing to base stopping and continuation decisions. And antithrombotic trials are not ideal because bleeds and strokes may not occur as early as the interim look. And but an adaptive design, I think you can say, it would be no worse than what is currently done and should be considered. So that's my conclusions. I have references.
Thank you very much.